Liz was better by nightfall, or acted well enough to come down for supper. She told him to stop worrying about her. She would survive. Spencer came back. The lumber mill thought they had space to cut him enough lumber shortly. Two freighters were hauling the lumber they had that he could use for the start. Those men said they'd haul until the snow got too deep. The crew from Centerpoint should arrive in 1 week. Spencer had two more freight outfits, said they'd haul some too, and after his inspection, thanked Toby for the wagon load of hardware and items needed that were so well tarped down and waiting to be hauled. He gave Chet a new list of more things they would need over dinner.
You hear from Tom about the road repairs?
He either has it done or will finish it shortly.
Thanks, Chet. The construction crew say I get the material to them, they will have it done in 3 weeks.
That quick?
They work. This is nothing to them. Look what all they built up here.
We may need to widen that road for those coming and going.
Well, there are no loose ropes around here. Attention, everyone. We are having elk tonight. Two vaqueros went and got the hide and the head and some of the meat. The man in town who stuffs animals will mount the head, and there is an Indian lady tanning the hide. So by the time the baby comes, we will have the head up in the living room, and the boss will have an elk skin coat to wear.
How'd you do that?
I have people help me when I want a surprise. Where is Jesus tonight?
Buying tents and things for all those boys who want to chop sagebrush.
How many are there?
Last count he had was 15. We're only taking 10 for now.
What can they clear in a day?
Some places where there's been a fire, they can clear 2 acres a day or more. Thick patches, maybe an acre is all. There are other small trees and stuff that need cutting down and hauled away.
Snowy days, they can cut up logs and bust them up for firewood for the ranch.
Have you heard from the corral builders?
No, but Harold Falk and his family will come through.
You really liked them when they worked on the stage line setups.
Yes, they know how to work, how to build them stout.
Raphael sat in the warm kitchen sipping coffee with Toby, Spencer, Liz, and Chet. Monica was finishing making breakfast and delivering plates of food.
Do you still have coffee?
I'm fine, gracias. I think 2 loads of hay first. Those teams and horses up there will need more feed than graze. Then 2 loads of firewood. I will have time to get some grain up there for the animals, too. Plus, I will have a wagon hauling their hardware and food needs.
Can you do that?
Robert has plenty of hay and firewood for him. We took lots up there this summer, so he is fine. The lower place has good stacks of firewood in place.
Why did you haul Robert hay?
I had the men and teams. I hauled it from Camp Verde.
I have no argument about your men working. Is Victor short on them?
He really gets lots of hay put up. Tom even admitted Victor was lots better at farming than he was. My vaqueros don't mind hauling it. You said it was all one big ranch.
All right. We will get snow. Maybe not until later. But we may need to rescue stranded freighters.
Can they find that place easy?
Yes. Tom will have the road open. You know where that friend of Margaret lives. They'll point you to where our road's at.
Can we get a sign to put up that says a Chet Burns Ranch Eastern Division?
And Toby Evans, superintendent, under that.
Well, I haven't proved that yet.
Yes, I selected you. The sign painter in town can paint that. Get it painted and put up.
Yes, sir.
Liz can design it for you.
Thank you, sir.
When you believe in something, you can sure get your back up about it.
Was that wrong, Chet?
No. You'll have lots of time when you have to put your foot down for what you believe. It's how it should be.
I don't need my name up there.
If I ride up there and don't know you, who do I ask for?
I understand. Thanks, I'm learning.
Good. Now let's talk like friends. You and Tally. What are your plans? Wait, I don't care if you marry or don't, but you're going to be a leader, and that sets an example. I don't think I'd be accepted as a leader if I ran around on my wife or simply lived together.
Chet, I talked to Dad. We agreed the two of them never got along. He understands I've built a friendship with her since he was married to her. Oh, and he likes the idea of the private room for him and a job. If you think people believe I'm not a Christian or a worthy person, then I'll talk to Tally. I guess we have been so occupied with being together, we may have not thought about how it looked to others. My plans are for us to be married.
Then if you two plan that, announce it.
Right now? I don't have the money to buy her a wedding dress and pay for a wedding.
If you two want to marry, Liz will buy her a dress that you couldn't afford, and the ranch will host the cost of the event.
You know I almost didn't take that candy at Ben's store. I didn't deserve it.
Toby, I paid for Hampton May's wedding and everyone since then. You're part of this team.
Thank you. Well, now that you said that, I do feel better about it all.
When we meet as leaders, you defend what is right in your mind.
I will, sir. Tally and I will talk. You know, I haven't had to make decisions that everyone looked at but me. I'm still having trouble believing I need to take charge and to get it right. We'll be here for supper.
Good. Your decision won't get you fired.
Thank you.
Chet put the minor newspaper aside at the sound of a buckboard approaching.
Chet, Ty and Victoria just drove up.
I'll invite them.
What could I serve?
Apple cider. We have lots of it.
That will work.
Chet leaned out the back door.
I'm home. Come on in. Liz has some cool apple cider.
We aren't interrupting anything.
Lord, no. How are things going?
Pretty fast. I think we found a place that would suit us.
Liz and I were loafing this afternoon. You found a place you like?
Yes, we wanted to run some things by you and ask what you think.
Go ahead.
The ranch we liked is the Fieldman Place. It's in the north end of things. Has 30 acres irrigated alfalfa, watered by two artesian wells. Has corrals and even a barn to store hay, with milking stanchions we would change on the left and horse stalls on the right. There's some half shelters we could use for mares and colts in bad weather. There's a fenced pasture he used for dairy cows. There's a bunkhouse. The house needs some repair, and the water system needs to be hooked to the windmill. It is 320 acres. The price is $5,000.
Is there any dicker in that price?
You mean will they lower it?
Like trading for a good horse.
Ty looked back at his wife. She held up her hands.
We haven't asked. What would you suggest?
The bank foreclosed on him, right?
Yes.
I think he's tacked the unpaid interest on the price.
How much is that?
Probably 20%.
$1,000.
That's right.
What should we offer him?
I'd say $3,500 cash. You can always go up.
I can do that. How will I pay him?
Liz, get a check. You write in the amount, I'll sign it.
I'll put his bank's name on it and the amount.
You want a registered clear deed?
I can request that.
I'm going to give you another check to deposit in your and Victoria's new bank account. This will be to fix the house and your needs to make it a ranch. It'll be for $3,000. You'll need living expenses and ranch expenses. When it gets down, we'll replenish it.
That is a hell of a lot of money.
You have about 3 weeks to fix a house, but don't let that make you do something you don't want.
We think we can do this, and we thank you.
Have fun.
They finished their cider and left the mugs on the kitchen table. Liz and Chet walked them to the back door. Chet went with them to the buckboard and sent them on their way. Victoria waved at him, then she settled in close to her man.
You're beginning to feel old.
No, but we sure have young folks around us and another child coming in our life.
Will you help them get that ranch ready?
If they ask.
Good idea. You have been helping people, I mean really helping young people, with their lives.
Trying.
At supper, Toby and Tally were there. Anita helped Monica set the table. Liz came in from helping the ranch women working on the dried brown beans and sacking them. She washed her hands and apologized for not helping Monica sooner.
Oh, you do lots of work down there. You earn your keep around here.
Lisa, I told Raphael this morning to build the requested casa.
Really?
Yes, it'll take more time in the winter. But we have the adobe bricks and the rest is close by.
Lisa crossed herself.
Thank you, blessed mother.
Well, I guess I'm next here to tell our plans. Tally and I want to be married when it can be arranged. We don't want to push anyone out. She and I have known each other, and we think we can make a marriage work. I asked Liz, and she said we could get married in 2 weeks and not get in Ty and Victoria's way. So, I invite you all to come.
We'll all be there.
After the meal, when he and his wife were alone in the living room, she asked him what he thought was his next move.
I can't leave here until after the weddings, and perhaps by then the New Mexico office will have found and arrested Hall. Whatever's the case, I want that matter settled. Then, Safu hired him and arrest those people. That might be the hardest to do.
You think he will hire more raiders?
No, but he planned the murder of Iris and paid for it. Perhaps not her directly, but he sent others there to do that.
So if they don't get Hall and Messiah, you intend to try and find him?
Yes, and bring him to justice.
I'll pray they arrest him.
I will too.
Ty was back the next day with Victoria. They looked excited when they drew into the yard. The cool north wind swept Chet's face as he came back down the stairs. He stopped on her side of the buckboard and offered her a hand down.
Well?
She turned for Ty to answer him.
We did better, Chet. We got the ranch for $4,000, and Victoria's dad said he'd pay half the money. You only have to pay $2,000. Now, honey, tell him what your mother wants to do.
Mother has money from her family inheritance. She said that the present house could be my foreman's place to live and is building us a new house. Oh, she asked if you could get the lumber for it. She'd pay for it, but the contractor told her you have it all tied up.
I'll get that done. You two will really start out great.
He turned to Liz, standing on the steps, wrapped in a wool shawl.
You hear about all the free stuff they're getting?
How nice of them.
We can make it in the old house because it'll take all winter to build the new one.
Well, in case you didn't hear, in 2 weeks, Toby and Tally are getting married here.
Liz, you will really be busy. Does Tally have a dress?
We are going tomorrow and get it made. May I buy you a dress?
I hate to say no, but my mother has spoken to do that.
Darling, I would not get in her way.
Thanks, but it is great what we are getting together.
We have hot coffee.
They had a nice meeting, and the pair soon ran off to handle more business.
Well, I bet since you threatened him, they sure put on a new face. Her parents, I mean.
Good. He needed one. No, he did do a nice thing for them. They'll start out better off than most people. After all, they only have her.
And you, my love. You have a tribe you are helping get started.
Did we pay Ray's tuition plus his room and board?
Yes. In his letter, he sounded very settled and excited.
They say that academy in St. Louis is the best and should get him in a good university. So Ray is with his nose in books. My brother would never understand it. He spent his entire adult life fixing and repairing machinery. He gets so involved in doing things that his wife would cry to Susie that he would never come to bed with her. And now Ty's getting married and starting a horse ranch.
My husband builds ranches and chases down outlaws.
We have fun together.
I did not say we didn't have fun. We do. But heavens, it is different from ordinary people's lives.
Toby came in the house.
A hay wagon headed for the ranch broke down. Needs a new wheel. I'm going to take two men, Jacks, and a new wheel.
How far away is it?
The other side of Camp Verde. I'll be back late this evening.
Be careful.
I will be. Where's Tally?
She's changing sheets upstairs with Anita.
I'll go tell her. Don't worry, I can handle it.
Chet shook his head. That boy was going to learn that all the wheels you want to turn might not turn when you need them. At least the surveyor and his two men were up there tying ribbons on property lines. Next week, the sagebrush grubbers were going to be ready to set up camp and tents up there. A dozen boys and their Chinese cook. The boys were all Hispanic from 16 to 20 years old. Needed work and understood how far away the ranch was, but they'd have 4 days a month to come back home and raise hell when they were paid. They each had two pairs of long handles and a canvas blanket-lined coat plus gloves that Toby had provided them. And they had their own wardrobe, which wasn't much. Each one had a hoe and Raphael showed them how to sharpen them. Sharper it was, the easier it would chop off the sagebrush at the base. They also had axes for small trees and larger brush. They were to leave nothing a mower bar would catch on. Under Raphael's guidance, Toby made a big older boy named Ronaldo the gang boss. Toby warned him he'd lose his job if he could not keep those boys moving. The job paid $1 a day, and the others made 50 cents. Chet thought they'd done well.
Toby, they may need protection from a bear, or even Indians. I'd arm them or those that know about firearms. A double barrel for the cook and a rifle for the lead man to take along.
I can do that. I never thought about it, but they could have troubles.
To sleep in, they had a large wall tent with a big stove. A second tent was for the mess hall. Jesus had bought the outfit from some logger who quit the business, and it had cost less than $100. The cooking utensils, tin plates, cups, and silverware, plus washtubs, wood stove, and the large ranch for the cook. Knew all that would have cost twice that much. Chet knew he got it cheap. The builders had their own setup, which they moved from Center Point down there. Chet had made two trips up there to check on things, and he thought it all would work. Tom's road work would require a bridge later, but they could pass each other coming and going in most parts on the wider road already built. Since the cut-off sagebrush and bushes would not rot, they'd need to take hay rakes and pile it, then load it on wagons and dump it. Toby agreed and said they'd get that done as well. One day, Chet received a letter from the U.S. Marshal in Santa Fe.
Dear Marshal Burns, I instructed two of my deputies in the Mesilla area to locate and arrest one Gerald Anson Hall to be held for Arizona charges on murder and other crimes. These men are top lawmen, and they could not find a trace of such a man by that name or description in the Mesilla area. I am sorry I was not able to help you. All offices in the territory have been put on notice to be on lookout for this man, but at this time he has not been located. Sincerely yours, Anthony Diaz, Chief U.S. Marshal for the New Mexico Territory.
Damn it.
What is wrong?
The New Mexico Marshals could find no trace of Hall.
But your man said...
He threw the letter down on the table.
They might not be able to find their ass either.
What now?
I'll talk to Spencer and Jesus. They may have some good ideas.
You don't plan to leave before we host the weddings, do you? This week is Ty and Victoria, next week Toby and Tally, and we plan the Thanksgiving celebration here on Thursday for the ranch people close by.
It's going to wear you out, girl.
No, it will keep me from getting depressed. I guess carrying a baby does things to a person that a non-pregnant woman does not feel. I can be up and then feel down. When I am busy, I am the happiest.
I think I understand. Keep busy.
But he was upset. He'd planned to send two of his men to bring Hall back when they apprehended him. Something stunk of a buy-off. It simply was not right. Did they think he would not check on it? That he was so far away he would let Hall slip away and not look further into the deal? He planned to find and arrest Hall. With or without those marshals in any flim-flam deal, he'd expose as well. After supper, Chet, Jesus, and Spencer were huddled in the small bedroom downstairs for a conference on Gerald Hall. Chet sat on the bed, and both men had kitchen chairs.
You think they got bought off?
Yes, he was there dealing faro a month ago. Hall has been working for some influential guys, I'm sure. A two-bit guy who once ran protection in Fort Worth had no interest in who got a mail contract. But a person who wanted the contract found him and made it worth his while to upset the deal. There's no telling how much they paid him, but when it looked like I might find him, they had to hide him or get their tails caught in the door. I think this group thought I was too far away to check it out as well.
What can we do?
Jesus, you have any wedding plans? You spoke about Thanksgiving.
If we need to go down there, that is fine. I am taking her to the jeweler and buying her a ring tomorrow. New Year's Day is now when we plan it for. I want to be able to announce it.
Wow, congratulations. I never thought you'd get it done.
Spencer reached over and shook his hand. So did Chet.
I have to be here the next 2 weeks for weddings and Thanksgiving. But after that, I could join you down there and we can iron all this out. Just be careful and don't get shot or killed. Hall ain't worth that. As Deputy U.S. Marshals, you can arrest him, and any jail is bound by law to keep him until I get there.
Who will guard you going down there when you come, Chet?
I can ask for Cole's man if he isn't busy.
Dennis is a good choice.
Just make sure you get someone to cover your back.
Oh, I will.
Jesus, you get her that ring, and we can head south tomorrow on the Black Canyon stage, right?
Right.
It leaves at midnight, and you'll have a long ways to go. I know you two can solve lots. I'll come after the second wedding. I want him tried for murder in the territory. Send me telegrams of your progress, and be careful. People like him don't play games. He will kill you.
I shook hands and went out to where everyone else was seated.
Well, what was decided in there?
Jesus has something to say.
I want to thank you all for making me a part of this family. I came from humble people. Chet hired me to track outlaws, and he must have liked what I did. His first wife taught me how to write. No one in my family ever learned how to write. I still write letters for some vaqueros to Mexico. I understand bookkeeping and how a business is run. I love my work, and I love Anita. She and I want to become man and wife on New Year's Day.
Everyone stood up and applauded. Jesus went over and kissed her.
Thank you all.
The suspense was over. Liz shook her head.
I may get them all married before our baby comes.
One of Tom's men shot a large elk, and he sent half of it up for the wedding reception for Ty and Victoria. The tent was up, and cloud cover moved in. Chet decided it might snow some the next day. His two men would be off and gone to find Hall and or try to solve the mystery of his whereabouts. They had the cooking fires going for 24 hours. But about the time folks began to arrive, flakes started drifting down. No matter. They had two big stoves in the tent. Fallen white stuff didn't hold back many from attending. Wine and drinks were being taken in an air of friendliness and festive occasion that Chet felt floated around inside the tent.
Well, how's your new foreman doing?
Toby, he's doing fine. The bunkhouse is going up fast. He talked me into another large hay barn being built while they're there. It made sense. The windmill pumps water into the house now, and they can build a holding tank for the excess in the spring. Everything will all need to be painted next spring, and sagebrush clearing is really going good. By Christmas, they'll be done with construction and can go back to the headquarters and finish that.
Tom mentioned taking some more cattle to windmill. Now, he worries it might snow a lot this winter.
I agree. How many?
He thinks 2 months more than are there now.
He's been over there with cattle for November and has the December-January numbers up there. They have plenty of hay. Yes, let's move February and March up there as weather permits.
Have you seen Ty's range?
I looked at it earlier.
That house her mother built for them is larger than a hotel. They already have it framed.
Well, they can go from room to room and feed the fireplaces all day then.
Someone will have to. May and I are going to build a wing on our house, unless you object. A new baby's coming. Heavens, lost those two boys, and now with the baby, we'll have two new ones.
I can finance it.
No. May said we had the money. You do enough for the kids.
Just doing my part. They've all been blessed in this land. You and I from being some cowboys wondering how we'd take back a ranch I bought and paid for. We haven't done bad, old hoss.
Hell, you ain't telling me nothing.
Jesus and Spencer went to El Paso, Mesilla County, to find this hole who's been dealing faro in Mesilla. The U.S. Marshals couldn't find any sign of him when they went looking.
What the hell is that all about?
You tell me. A man got my address off a poster, I guess. Said that Hall was dealing faro, and because of the boundary, the Texas Rangers could not arrest him. I wrote Santa Fe to help me. They wrote back that there was no sign of any Hall in Mesilla.
Is it a cover-up?
I don't know. Damn strange. I bet my boys can find out.
When you going down there?
If they haven't solved it, I'm going down there after Toby and Tally's wedding.
Let me go with you. We'll kick down some doors and find that bastard.
I was going to ask Cole's man, Dennis, to go with me. He's been in law work, if Cole can spare him.
Hell, the three of us can go.
Hey, love to have you. I want this Hall deal over once and for all.
If five of us can't settle it, well, it won't be because we didn't try.
Better tell your wife. She doesn't have those big boys to help her.
Oh, well, that big daughter helps her, and my hands will do anything she needs done.
How close is May?
February.
Hell, we aren't back by then. We won't come back.
Chet wrote Cole to see if he could spare Dennis, so all he needed was his reply. Liz would be happy if he took Hampt along. He had stole her heart on the lost herd drive they had made to Nebraska.
She said to go help you.
Get your bag packed.
What are Ty and Victoria gonna do after they get married tonight?
Sleep upstairs. Well, if they have time, go on to their ranch in the morning. They said they had lots to do over there. I think that suits them. They really are very close, and I don't think they want to miss anything happening at the ranch.
May said she heard Jesus and Anita are getting married New Year's Day.
That's the plan. He bought her a nice ring before he left.
Things going on around us like dust devils. Ah, hell, we'll get that hall guy.
Snow and the cold wind outside never stopped the activity or the wedding in the tent, and then the supper that would follow. It was May and Hamp's big night, along with Victoria's folks. Ty called May, his mom, and bragged how she put up with two mean boys growing up. She cried like Chet expected. She was the most tender-hearted woman on God's green earth. But Hamp was holding her tightly. If she had not been so well-educated, those boys would have been dunces. He knew that for a fact. They wouldn't know it for years, but someday they'd realize how much she pointed out to them. The newlyweds escaped to the house and some privacy. Victoria's mother, Viola, thanked Chet for helping her get the lumber.
I hear it's a large house.
I only have one daughter. This was the house in Missouri I wanted when we married. Arthur told me bankers don't live in houses that big. I am certain it won't hurt that horse people do, will it?
No, those two are down to earth enough to make it a warm, rich place.
You have done well in this house.
Yes, I have. Thank you.
You are very lucky to have Elizabeth. She could treat a king, and every cowboy would still love her.
Viola, I knew that, but I never phrased it that way.
Quite privately, I thank you. We might have lost her. I would have died. You are what people say about you. A caring person.
Thanks. God bless. I better move around.
The two lovers have already gone into the house. They forgot to ask your blessing.
I can still do it before they leave tomorrow.
Don't forget.
I'll try not to. I feel very pleased. Viola thanked me for all I did for Victoria and Ty. She did it in a very sincere way.
She has a lot of shell around her that won't let a person in because they may hurt her.
She likes you.
I know.
Come, let's dance before you're too big.
At breakfast, he blessed the marriage of Ty and Victoria. They thanked him, hugged everyone, and drove off. The snow was melting under a warmer sun. Nothing could dampen them. They weren't really living in this world, but rather walking on top of it. He got the first wire from Jesus. We are in Mysia. Do not know a thing. Jesus. Well, in little over a week, he'd head that way. Hampt was going along, and Cole sent a letter saying his man Dennis would be there, that there had been no more raids. Things were going fine. The snow was melting quickly. He hated them going without him, but he had work to do, dammit. Signed it Cole and Valerie, with a P.S., Rocky said hi. Chet and Liz attended late mass, and they enjoyed the returning heat driving home. The remaining snow was gone, except in the shade.
In a week, you go to El Paso with Hamp and Dennis to look for this hall if they don't locate him by then?
That animal needs caged. Iris was killed. That woman said every bum came by and people without means. He also hired those men to kill a driver and the horses. The shooter who tried to kill my men and me. He works for some person or company that wanted that mail contract, and he tried to make us fail.
Hannigan didn't know them?
He said he didn't. I don't know the individuals and companies in that business circle, but I find it hard to believe he doesn't know who his competitors are.
Hall may be hard to find. He must have lived there and has people who will hide him.
He may be 100 miles away, too. We're going to scour that region and find him.
I understand that Juarez is a very tough place.
I would put my men up against a Mexican army, but we will be careful.
I understand your anger. I simply want you back in one piece. Both of your boys, me and this baby, need you alive.
I'll be careful.
When you have it solved, send me a telegram and come home.
He nodded. As long as Hall ran free, he planned to look for him. The whole area between the main house and the outbuildings had been cleaned and readied for the next party, Toby and Tally's wedding. And after that, they would have Thanksgiving dinner in the big barn-like hall for the ranch people and close family members. It would hold that size group. The tent would be left up, but would not be needed for the Thursday meal. His people would enjoy the festive occasion after the big apple harvest and summer work harvest in the pinto beans. The peaches picked before that and canning of food all summer, so they had them to eat through the winter. His ranch was a community of sharing and helping each other. Most of the men had wives and families, and those children attended school. Six sons worked in the saddle shop. Those boys chopping sagebrush at the East Ranch were mostly related to employees who needed work too. Raphael hired many to haul hay, lumber, and feed. They also worked building fences, repairing them, or helping at hay harvest. Raphael, his main man, was the leading man among the Hispanic community. He never took any credit for it. He might even have been the father figure who talked to Anita about setting a date to marry Jesus. Now, someone did. Raphael or his own wife? He might never know the answer. Jesus was, to Chet, another son and an extension of his arm. The day he separated Cargill from Tally at that shack with his rifle, Chet knew his man had stepped in and took charge. The nice young man had grown into a no-nonsense leader. If Cargill had not done his wishes, he would have killed him.
And the worthless man needed it.
He'd bet good money Jesus was rooting out information in Mesilla. Spencer matched him. Dennis, he and Hampt would make good support, but those two were tough. He went to sleep hugging his expanding wife and savoring the event.
Here we are.
Beau showed him maps of three homesteads he made bids on. Two of them were closer to the eastern unit.
Toby could go look at them for you.
He's just a boy.
I beg to differ. He's smart.
Sarge will find time. I trust his judgment.
Why are you such a snob?
I would never have hired him to run a chicken ranch for me.
I hired a damn drunk land agent and then had to sober him up, and I did, by God. You'd be lying in the alley behind the Palace Saloon freezing your ass off and begging for a drink tonight. Stop the bullshit about Toby. He's a smart young man.
All right. But he's marrying his own mother.
Don't spread that around. We all make mistakes. Tally married his father at 14. The boy's mother was already dead, and Tally and his father never got along. She divorced him and ended up in slavery to Cargill. Did you see her swollen eye? I'd have killed him with my bare hands for doing that to a woman. On top of that, he shot an unarmed man who was trying to stop him from hurting her more. Let those two sort out things in their lives. I say they'll make a solid family. I thought that about you, didn't I?
All right.
Now then, how much private land is for sale around the place Ty bought?
Oh, look. His father-in-law put up half the money, didn't he?
It shocked me, but he did. And her mother had inheritance money to build them a house.
Have you seen it? It's a bloomin' castle.
I've seen it.
What do you need that land for?
Oh, his horse business may grow, and if he has access to federal land or land we own, he could run some cows.
Thinking all the time how to make money, aren't you?
Like you are about real estate sales.
I will grant you that. Are you partners yet with the Stagecoach people?
No, I'm still looking. You have any money?
With a new baby? No, sir.
I got a bid from a company in Ohio to build a telegraph line from Gallup to Hardyville.
How much money would it cost?
$1.2 million.
Phew. Forget that and build fires and make signals like the natives did. Much cheaper. Who in the world has that kind of money?
The federal government.
Then let them build it, and you manage it for them and do the upkeep. Like when the beavers eat the poles up, you can shoot them.
That's all I need.
Hell, Chet, a beaver couldn't tell a pole from a tree.
He left the office laughing. Why, he bet by the time he got back home, Bo would have 10 sections that were for sale west of Ty's place. His business done, he rode back to the ranch with the sun on his jumper. He felt warm enough. Nice day for now, but it would probably fluff up and snow some more. Raphael and the stable boy met him in the yard area when he dismounted. When the boy was gone with the horse, his foreman got serious.
I know you just went to town, and Jesus and the new man are gone on business. But please see me when you need to go anywhere, and I will get the man to go with you. Those were my instructions from your wife, past and present one. I don't want to lose my job. I am too old to chop sagebrush.
All right, I screwed up. I hope you don't lose your job, because I sure couldn't handle the Vaquero's women.
Are things going well up there?
I believe Toby will have lots of meadow land open for next year. There's lots of grass here now. There were hardly any stray range cattle on the place at all.
He may have a neat ranch to run for the outfit.
He may indeed.
The preparation for the wedding and the Thanksgiving meal to follow was the ladies of the ranch's operation. Monica made pies, and the slip of a girl he brought back, Lisa, had become a natural leader, and the older women respected her. Her casa was coming slower than he thought, but she'd have a wedding sometime that winter, he felt certain. Spud wrote him letters. Sean wrote him about progress. They had four local cowboys hired who were out on the range with Spud catching unbranded calves and working them. Spud or Sean rode with them each day and made additions and corrections to the log entries. Tom had told them to castrate the Longhorn bulls, and they had all but two done. Those were probably both real wild. Tom was going to ship them more than enough hair for bulls to replace them by springtime. The womenfolk were doing well. JD's wife, Bonnie, wrote them she was definitely pregnant again. Liz had little sickness, and he felt maybe the spell was over. She was growing in size. One Wednesday, Valerie, Stella, and Rocky arrived. Cole's man Dennis Crane brought the three down. Cole was not having problems, but thought he'd better stay on the job. Victor, Ray, and Adam came, and Susie with Sarge and their boy joined them. Sarge said he felt he needed that month's cattle drive off to come and be with family. His man could handle it. Tom and Millie had a meal down there for the crew, and later that morning, Toby and Tally drove in. The weather held above freezing for the wedding. He offered a blessing for the couple that was staying in the Brown Hotel because of the possible weather, but that was a secret. A few days later, it was Thanksgiving. Everyone was still there. They had everything a person could imagine on the food table, from Mexican, elk, beef, and pork. Potatoes, white and sweet, plus rice and gravy. Canned sweet corn, green beans, and hot peppers, tortillas, both flour and corn, biscuits, and cornbread. Monica's pies were on a separate table. Coffee, hot and cool tea, apple cider, milk, and water to drink. Everyone ate until they near busted. His wife beamed like she was thoroughly pleased with how it went. Lisa and three of the wives made sure all the children were fed. McCully, Petal the saddle maker, and her man came late, but were seated, and there was enough food that they had all they could eat.
How much has this grown since you started?
Maybe doubled, but they are the best outfit in the world.
Rafael told me he chewed you out about going to town without a guard, and it would not happen again.
He wasn't lying either.
When you first met him, he wasn't the boss here, was he?
No, two white men were the ones. They got killed over by Bloody Basin. Monica led the charge for him to be the foreman. I never admit to her she was right.
Well, now, we just get cleaned up, and you go south.
Yeah, I better go play with my sons.
They have grown every time I see them.
Ours will, too.
The living room floor was alive with balls and dolls, along with the ranch toddlers, who all were overseen by three teenage girls and Stella Riviera, Rocky's nanny. They didn't need a daddy. They were busy playing. The party went on into the night, with the little ones sleeping on blankets while the teens and parents danced to the ranch musicians. He and Liz excused themselves and went to bed. The next day, Dennis Crane arrived, and Chet and he prepared to leave to meet up with Jesus and Spencer. May had caught some kind of bug, and Hampt hated to leave her. Chet reassured him the four of them could handle the matter and shook his hand. He and Dennis took their bags, rifles, saddles, and by buckboard, they went to meet the midnight stage. Liz rode with him and saw him off. It was hard for him to kiss her goodbye. There had been no wires to tell him of any success, and Jesus would have notified him in time if they had their man. He wired them and mentioned a time when they might arrive. When they got closer, he'd know for sure and wire them again. He'd gotten Dennis a wool blanket to use going off the mountains to Hayden's Ferry. As the only passengers, he thanked them for thinking about him and curled up to sleep. Crane and Chet had their first chance to talk about the mission. Chet went over all the problems he blamed on Hall. When they had changed stages at the ferry, he continued the rest of the story. So by the time they rocked by the Casa Grande ruins, then thought to be from when the Aztecs were there, Dennis had the whole story.
So no one knows who hired him?
Not unless Jesus and Spencer found something out. A man wrote me he was dealing faro in Mesilla, New Mexico, and that the Rangers couldn't go over there to arrest him. I sent U.S. Marshals after him. They said no one knew where he went.
Damn, that is weird. Hannigan not knowing. You know, most times people like the head of the stage line know who bid against them.
Told me he had no idea who he bid against.
Why don't you inquire at the Postal Department in Washington, D.C., and tell them it involves a criminal case and you need to know the names of those bidders.
I never thought of that. Yeah, I can do that. Thanks. Two brains are better than one. I guess it never entered my mind. Oh, along with the stage line, I've been thinking we need a telegraph wire up along that route so we know what's going on. Later, we'd have it for the rail service, too. It's 400 miles. I got my first bid last week. Guess what they want to do it?
100,000?
No, 1.2 million.
Hell, you could pave the whole road with bricks for that.
I'm working on a way to string one.
Man, that sure would help us on security. But that's why you want it. You know it takes days to get the word if we have a wreck.
I know. This is the last stop before Tucson, Pachuca Peak Station. We better use the facilities.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the blanket. I don't need it today down here, but it was handy coming down. Where do we go from Tucson?
There's a stage from there to Lordsburg, just over in New Mexico. Another over to Deming, and that's the end of the rail line that goes to El Paso. We'll get off of Mesilla at the Texas border. You lost your wife, you told me?
She was found one day and the next dying. Ruth was the light of my life. She taught me how to read. I had little schooling, and it never seemed important until I realized in law work, they didn't hire the best man. They hired the best man that could read. I met her in a railroad camp. She was a shady lady. Her husband died, and she had no trade, so she did that. I was just a big galoot in those days. Riding along, I saw her walking under a parasol down the tracks. I guess going to go to the store. They had one in a tent. I swung that pony around and tracked her, trying to get her to talk to me. Boy, I was talking to the wind. She stopped, and haughty as hell, she said, "Mister, I am a whore, and I work in that tent marked Sadie's Palace. For $5 every 30 minutes, I will talk or entertain you there. Sounds reasonable. I'll be by to see you." I tipped my worn-out gray cowboy hat at her and went to win some money at cards in another saloon tent. I was damn lucky and won $300 with four queens in my hand. Dumb me. I thought they were her, and that was why I was so lucky. I talked to her one night at $10 an hour for 6 hours. The next night, I spent the same amount. But I convinced her that night I was not after her body, but all of her.
You were determined. Go ahead.
She asked, what would I do? I said I would get a job as a lawman. She came back with the fact that I told her I couldn't even read. I told her I would learn how. I'd get a wagon, team, and camping gear, and we will find a job I can handle. I'll find a preacher and marry her.
She agreed?
Yes. And we were married and lived on wild game going west. I got a job stacking buffalo hides. Three drunks came by and started a fight with my boss in his bar. I stepped in and knocked two of them out by slamming their heads together and kicked the gun out of the third man's hand. They couldn't believe I did that. The boss gave me $20 and told me his buddy, Wild Bill Hickok, was a marshal in Abilene and that he thought he could use me. He wrote a letter. It is a long ways from Fort Dodge to Abilene. Ruth was afraid I'd not get a job when we got there. Wild Bill hired me and I worked for him 2 years. And by then I could read a book. She taught me all about money. I moved down the line to Wichita. I could handle a crowd, catch a thief or a crooked dealer. Cancer took her like a prairie fire. Doctors wrung their hands. I held the loveliest woman in my arms every night. When I lost her, I cried myself to sleep.
Chet just nodded. Since it was a 4-hour wait for the Lordsburg stage, they had time to eat, so they went to a Mexican restaurant he knew for lunch. The time passed fast, and they saw they were going to be real crowded in the stage for the east. Two peddlers, a woman in her 30s, with the two of them all shoehorned in the coach. Chet asked the driver to let him ride on top. There was no shotgun guard. He agreed, and that left Dennis with the woman to talk to and Chet to listen to the driver's laments about being underpaid and saying how his wife shared her body with other guys he knew when he was away on stage driving business. They made it to Benson without him falling off. The salesman departed there, and Chet told the driver to have better luck in the future. After a meal from a nearby stand, Chet, Dennis, and Virginia, the lady still riding with them, headed for Lordsburg. Chet introduced himself. The lady was a widow with a ranch east of there, and her foreman was coming to get her. She had 400 head of mother cows and the T-Bar K Ranch brand. It was off to the mountains north, and Dennis had told her he would like to stop and see her spread on his way back. The conversation ran on while they were crossing the playas that spanned both sides of the road, looking like great lakes, but only inches deep. Chet noted when they parted from her in Lordsburg that her foreman had dressed up to meet her and had a coal black team and coach. She kissed Dennis on the cheek, told him to come see her, and shook Chet's hand. They made Deming with all the noisy steam engines hooking cars on switches and whistling like they had nothing better to do. If stages bucked, then train cars jerked. They were 6+ hours at 25 miles per hour from Mesilla. It was 10 o'clock at night when the porters put their bags, saddles, and guns off onto the wooden deck. Jesus and Spencer were there with a buggy to haul them off to the hotel.
Anything so far?
We got our first real lead today. We are going to see about it tomorrow.
Is it where he might be?
Jesus looked at Spencer.
We've been bribing people to learn all we can. This is the damnedest place to find out anything. There must be some tough influence coming over from Juarez with strong arms. But we have a lead to see about tomorrow. The guy expects $50 if we learn what we want.
Good. Dennis and I need to eat, get some sleep, and breakfast. Then we can join you.
We have all that handled. How is everyone at home?
Chet handed him a long letter from Anita.
The rest are fine.
Jesus smiled. The next morning, they went and had breakfast and then took a taxi to the address the snitch gave them. They told the taxi man to wait. No one had any idea it was a funeral home. They went inside and, in Spanish, Jesus spoke to the first man who met them. The man said he had no idea what they wanted and told them they must talk to the boss. A large man greeted them in his office. His name was Brazos, and he wondered what they wanted from him. Jesus told him in Spanish they were looking for Gerald Anson Hall. The man smiled.
Oh, he died a few weeks ago and he was buried.
Did they bury the right man?
Oh, yes, senor.
He opened a drawer and handed him a good-sized picture of a man in a coffin. He was wearing a suit.
Is this him?
Oh, see, they had to have picture of him.
What for?
I guess to collect the reward from Riley.
That's why you have his picture?
Two pictures do not cost much higher than one. And the hombre, he paid me for both of them, so I kept mine.
Did he die of natural causes?
Oh, yes. He had 3 bullets in his heart.
They killed him and collected a reward, right?
Oh, I heard later they paid $500 for him dead.
Can you tell me who killed him?
No. He might kill me.
Can you tell me who wanted the photograph?
Felipe Romulus.
You guys know him?
He is a thug here in Juarez.
Chet put $100 American on the man's desk.
He works for who?
The man held his hands up about the money.
I can't take that.
200?
No.
300 for the name of the man he works for.
Sam Riley.
The man who paid the reward.
Brazos nodded.
Have a nice day, senor.
Outside in the taxi to go back to Mesilla, Chet shook his head.
Who's Sam Riley?
Big businessman on the U.S. side of the border.
You guys suspect him?
No. We never had this much information before.
There are 2 taxis following us.
He directed their driver.
Go down the alley and stop at the other end to block them. You two, slip out so they don't see you. And when they both stop you, cover them from behind.
Dennis and Spencer slipped out, and their buggy went on between piles of rubbish. Soon both pursuing rigs turned and rushed down the alley.
Get down, driver. They may shoot at us.
Si, senor.
Chet and Jesus, with guns ready, faced the oncoming wagons. The men in them threw up their hands. The other pair had the second occupants covered. They were made to stand facing the wall and tell their names, which meant nothing to Chet. They drew the youngest one and took Jesus' big knife to hold close to his face.
Tell me where your boss is right now or lose your ears.
At his casa. It is on the Bishop Road, Paz Real.
Jesus, you know where that is?
Yes. What color is his house?
Verde.
Get back over there. Spencer, you and Dennis pay these other drivers to go on. You hold this bunch here for an hour. Then meet us you know where.
We can do that.
Jesus and Chet hurried the taxi driver to the place the boy told them. Chet told him to park around the corner. The casa was a big two-story house turned into an uptown restaurant downstairs. They swept into the interior and someone shot at them from the balcony. Jesus returned fire while Chet covered the room. Nothing but screaming women workers and white shirt waiters in the place. The room was filled with spent gunpowder. Chet and Jesus rushed upstairs and faced a man aiming a gun at them. He hesitated a second and Jesus shot him. They flew to the end of the hall and found a window where a man was escaping, having jumped down and was now running away.
Sam Riley, he's going to warn him.
At full speed, they ran back through the gun smoke-filled room, took the stairs two at a time, found the driver, and were headed for the American side, where Jesus said Riley had an office. His U.S. Marshal badge shown had opened the U.S. Customs gate quickly for them to go back. The clogged streets slowed them, but when they arrived at the bank, Chet showed the bank guards his badge. Instant entry, up the stairs and at his open door, the man's secretary looked stone-faced at them. They went straight by her with their guns drawn. The desk was empty, and so was the open safe behind it.
I don't know where he went. I spoke to him not 10 minutes ago.
The train depot.